This episode of the Last Drinks podcast is sponsored by Zecca Skin. Zecca Skin specializes in high-quality men's skincare products that not only benefit the health of your skin, but also support men's mental health. Use discount code LASTDRINKS25 at checkout to get 25% off all Zecca Skin products. And if you wish to support the show, you can now donate via Buy Me A Coffee. That's www.buymeacoffee.com/lastdrinks. All donations will go to keeping the show running and thriving. We greatly appreciate all the support we've received from our fans and followers. Now sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode of the Last Drinks podcast.
Low-key nervous, because everybody knows it, but I have only just come to like accept it this year.
Yeah.
And work on it.
So. Mm. Well, that's a powerful place to be anyway, to be able to accept it and own it yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hats off to you for doing it.
Woo.
This is the Last Drinks podcast. I'm Will Hitchens and this is Bree Wilkinson. Hello, Bree.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. You are a accomplished businesswoman.
I am.
Mm. Your business is Blank Smiles. So the basis of it seems to be cosmetic teeth whitening and then your tooth gem industry needs.
Mm-hmm.
What is tooth gem? Was it?
Like a little diamante on your tooth.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that before.
Yep, that's
fair. I thought it was, it might have been some sort of dental thing that I wasn't aware of. So what sparked the interest to pursue the care of teeth?
Me. My teeth.
Yeah.
I guess, when I was growing up, went through a lot of like bullying and stuff for my appearance, and then when COVID hit, I was like, I'm gonna start a business because there's no security in life other than yourself. So I started a business, and I was like, what can I do that will make people feel empowered and confident within themselves? And I was like, well, what have I struggled with? And then I built a business around that. And then I've now built my training academy around my financial freedom and success with my business, so helping people to also build security around themselves, not just around their confidence.
Yeah, because that's
where it'll stem from.
Because that's something you just released recently. It was the academy, and now you're teaching other people to go down the financial freedom route as well.
Yeah. So I started that like a year ago, my academy, and it's just taken off ever since.
And even you mentioned just before we started that you're taking it overseas.
Yes, I know. I have been offered an opportunity to basically take my academy over to London and Barcelona, so I'm gonna go and do it.
Why not?
Let's go. I know, whoever would have thought, like, I would never think that starting a business I would have so many experiences, opportunities, lessons, and to travel as much as I have been able to. So it's really cool.
Awesome. Well, we'll get into more of that in a moment. And I brought you here today to, I guess, more or less talk about you. You know, we've just discussed, you know, she's quite accomplished businesswoman, but let's learn more about Bree herself. Because you came up on my radar as you did a podcast recently with Elise Riley, her podcast, Generation Elevation. I know Elise because she's a trainer at S30 Mermaid. That's where I train. You came up on my feed, and like any man, I was like, there's an attractive woman. Let's go have a look. And then the first post I saw was you were sober.
43 out of 365.
Yeah. Which sparked my curiosity more. And then, you know, here you are.
Yeah.
And so how long have you been sober for?
So I stopped drinking at the beginning of the year. So on the 1st. And I have been sober leading up till about a week. Two weekends ago, but we'll continue my sober journey since that little, I guess, what would you call it? Little pivot learning point.
Well, it's a learning point.
I was going to say release, but that is just completely the wrong word. That was what I would usually associate it to.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it can be called a slip up, I guess. Depending, but. You know, from we actually talked about it before, and it sounded like a real positive learning experience, which you can take from. I mean, I took from my last relapse. That's how I look at it now, as opposed to, I guess, it being such a negative, just shit, period.
Yeah. And usually, like, you know, previously, until I set this goal for myself, I would always say, you know, I'm going to go a month sober and blah, blah, blah. And then I'd drink or, you know, party throughout that period. And I'd hold so much guilt and shame inside of me.
Mm.
Whereas this time round, I feel no type of way about it. I don't feel any guilt or shame or embarrassment, nothing at all.
Mm.
It's all just a massive, like, realization and learning curve. And I'm actually very grateful that I did experience that, to be honest. So, yeah, moving forward, it's... It's exciting.
Like, it's, you have this little slip up in order to grow even bigger.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll get into, I guess, before you started the sober journey this year, and what was your introduction to alcohol?
Okay. I'll take you all the way back.
We're going back in time now.
No, all the way back. So I have... grown up in a childhood where I was very free to do whatever I wanted, learn my own lessons in life, very little guidance, which is such a blessing and such a curse at the same time, because I guess in your early childhood years, you do want that support and I guess that advice. My parents have never drank, they've never touched drugs, nothing like that. Same with my sister, my older sister. She's never been into the whole partying. You know, she's married, two kids, 27. That, you know, beautiful little life that everybody, yeah. And I went the complete opposite direction. I was just a free soul. Growing up, I started drinking and smoking marijuana at like 13, 14. And that's just, yeah, because my parents were always away. I was always away at home alone. And I've always hung around a lot older crowds. So I've always been that young one in the crowds. And then throughout school, I guess, I went through a very crazy journey of always being bullied. Like, I was that girl that moved every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents worked a lot of, in a lot of different areas, so we were always moving states. So I was always that new girl, and it took me quite a while to obviously fit in. So my way of doing that would be throwing parties, and everybody would come to those parties, and we'd all drink. So, yeah, and that was sort of my... coping mechanism in school was to kind of drink on the weekends and like feel connected to the people that I was so disconnected to during school, if that makes sense. And then at around 16, I started clubbing with a fake ID, and my partner at the time was 18, so he had just, you know, freshly started going out. So I was always out with them, so I started clubbing very early. And then when I turned 17, I moved out of home, and I moved in with three guys who I'd gone to school with, but they were a lot older than me. And at that point, they were partying a lot. They were touching MDMA, you know, all of those sort of party drugs. So I started experiencing all of that quite young as well, at like 17, 18. And I drank, and I was on a lot of medication as well for my mental health at that point, because again, I was diagnosed with all these things. But in reality, I was just lack of guidance, lack of, yeah, just a lack of who I was, you know what I mean? I had really no support. I had to kind of figure it out myself. And then, oh, it's so scary talking about this, not going to lie, because no one knows, you know? Like, it's these things that we fully suppress and we just learn to deal with it ourselves. And I think, yeah, after that, yeah, I went through a really crazy party stage where, you know, my parents wouldn't hear from me for a few weeks, and then, you know, yeah, they'd reach out and be like, what's going on? And I'd just be hungover or still on a come down. And then I started to realize that it wasn't healthy. I started to realize that I don't actually have mental issues. It was literally just my coping mechanism, and I was surrounded by it. And yeah, I then got into another relationship that was very, very toxic. And that was my big introductory to, you know, heavy drugs and stuff like that. I never did it myself, but I was always surrounded by it. So I guess you're still feeding off that sort of energy. And then I got, that only went for about 8 months, and that was a very big turning point in my life. I then met, started dating my ex, who I was with for a few years, and that was a huge life lesson as well, because during that time, it was a relationship that, yes, I'd worked through so much, and yes, I'd started getting into breathwork, meditation, fitness, you know, really understanding my childhood traumas and everything that was going on in my life. but I still used drugs and alcohol, more so cocaine and alcohol, as a coping mechanism.
Mm.
And it was because I was around it, again, 24/7. And I always thought to myself, I don't want this life. Like, how the hell can I get away from it?
Mm.
But how can you get away from it when you're surrounding yourself with it?
Yeah.
So it's crazy because since then, I've gone through a journey. I've been single now for 2.5, 3 years almost. And since then, I've gone through a journey of, yes, I've like continued to party and drink alcohol and whatnot, but I can't even explain it. It's been such a different journey, and each year that goes by, it becomes less and less.
Mm.
And then obviously this year was my turning point, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm 24 years of age, and what I've seen as fun since the age of 13, I've now realized it's a coping mechanism, and I'm suppressing everything that I'm currently going through. Work with your shit. Mm. So yeah, I guess the last 2 years, well, the last 3 years with my business, it was also a huge stress relief. So I would work like crazy during the week, and from Thursday to Sunday, I'd party.
Yeah.
And that was my like outlet of not having to worry about anything, not having to deal with anything. And yeah, it was kind of just a cycle.
Yeah.
So I went through, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, I did 4 months sober. So I, you know, really tried to stick to it. And yeah, I got through 4 months sober, and then I just, as soon as I was back in that environment, it was every weekend again. And I was like, fuck. And then this year was my year that I was like, nah, something's got to change.
Mm.
And I think it's because I have a full understanding now of why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm.
You really need to have a purpose in everything you do in life. And I know my purpose. When I am around drugs and alcohol, I know that purpose is to forget about my day-to-day shit. It's not for any other reason.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Mm.
It's not exciting. The next day, yes, in the moment, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, fuck, I love to dance, I love to party, I love to socialize. But what I've really realized is it's so surface level and it's so fake.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I've realized. And the more you come into depth with who you are and your life purpose, I think the more you realize that.
Mm.
Who are the people you're surrounding yourself with? Who are your closest friends that you think are your closest friends? And then you actually look at your relationship and it's all built around drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
It's all built around partying.
Mm.
Nothing's beautiful on the outside of, you know, outside of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're alone again. Once you finish drugs and alcohol, you're alone. You've only got yourself.
And then if you're continuously going down that path and escaping yourself because, you don't want to deal with yourself, that can be quite a tricky thing.
Yeah.
And I guess, like what you were relaying, like it sounds like for yourself, the struggle would have been, well, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore, but every single person that I encounter is doing this.
Yeah.
So then you start believing that, is everyone doing this? Yes. Like, is no one just not doing this, or are we all doing this?
Yeah, literally. And I think another thing too is I'm 24 and I have a lot of older friends in their 30s plus, and they all say, when I was 20, when I was 24, when I was your age, babe, I was drunk every day of the week, going to work drunk. And I was like, okay, cool. Back when I was 20, I went through, so after that really toxic relationship for 8 months, I went through an extremely bad period of 8 bottles of wine a day. Like it was, that was my number. It's like, if I can get to 8, I'm a soldier. Like, woo! And then my dad, one morning, I went and visited them and he's like, you need to go to rehab. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm 20. Girls party when they're 20. What do you want about? And he's like, nah. Like this, and it's always stuck with me because I've always been like, fuck. Like, fuck that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was so in denial. I'm like, I'm 20. Like, I can do what I want. I can drink. I part, you know?
Mm.
And then now being 24, I'm still so young, and everyone in my age category, they're all still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like I said, how can you heal and I guess realize things when you're constantly surrounded by those people and environments?
Mm.
So fast forward to now, it's very wild because I've started embarking on like a solo travel journey.
Yeah.
And the people I meet and attract, they're like, oh, I've been sober for 8 years. And I'm like, no, you haven't. Like, no way. But do you know what I mean? It's because you're fully taking yourself out of your normality or your unhealthy shit.
Yeah.
And then you're attracting all of these beautiful people that don't think like you have thought in your past.
Yeah.
And it just makes me realize even more. I'm like, shit, there are people out there that are sober.
Mm.
There are people out there that can go out and party and have fun without touching an ounce of alcohol or drugs. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's wild, yeah.
It actually is.
And I mean, people would have also said, yeah, oh, people who don't drink and they're out having a good time, just like, oh, well, they're boring or they're just, you know, how could they possibly do that? Because we've attached this idea with fun, with alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, yeah, in the moment, yeah, it's great. Of course it is. That's why people keep doing it. But then it's going outside the outer layer of what everything else that comes with it is then the consequences that you have to put up with. And I think for a lot of people, and I mean myself would have been, you just cope and guess like the problems that you start building, you then just start coping with. And it's just like, oh, well, it's fine. I'm hungover every Sunday. Oh, it's fine that I said that stupid thing. Oh, it's fine that like, and then it just grows and grows and grows. And the start of this year, so was it like you just had the big final bender or something on New Year's?
Yeah, I did. And I woke up on New Year's and I said, fuck this. I don't want this life anymore. The amount of drugs cocaine I consumed on New Year's was insane. The amount of money I've spent for the last 3 years, especially since creating a financial security place in my life, I'm like, what? I'm working so hard for it to go to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Although I'm doing so many amazing things, my outlet is still that thing. Well, it was still that thing, sorry. And yeah, after New Year's, I always knew at the end of last year, like I've always wanted it. I've always dreamt of being sober. I've always dreamt of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I get out of this? Because I don't know, you know? And yeah, I found safety and security almost in being around people. So that was my thing.
Yeah.
When you're around people, you're around clubs of people or crowds of people, so you feel almost like, you know, secure within yourself, I guess. But in reality, it's just your ego and self-validation.
And like you're saying, you're around people where you're having like surface level,
yeah,
fake interactions,
yeah,
in a sense, yeah.
And not to categorize anything or people, this is just my personal opinion. I'm gonna say it because I now watch my Instagram and I watch people that I'm like, oh my god, that looks like so much fun. I'm like, are you okay? Like, what are you going through? Like, for you to, it's crazy. Yeah. The way your mind changes when you look at people's behaviors on a night out, or you look at the way that they carry themselves, or you know, recently when I had gone out 2 weekends ago for a girlfriend's birthday, I was in a situation where this guy was just very aggressive for no reason, and I'm like, who you are without that alcohol, drugs, whatever you're on, you know, like I just feel like it's just crazy to watch when you're so aware of it.
Yeah.
But previously, after that weekend, I went home within like 2-3 hours and reflected on everything. And I was like, fuck, like, is this who I have been for the last however many years? Or is it just because I'm now aware that this is not okay sort of thing? So that was a big wake up call the other weekend.
Yeah. Well, did you want to go through what happened that night that made you then, yeah, come to the realizations and the lessons that you have now? Because
yeah, I guess so. There's been a lot of like change going on in my life, a lot of like pivotal, massive moves and decisions that I'm making for myself. And I hit a point the other week. So my girlfriend's birthday was always on. I was planning to go out, stay sober, blah blah blah. And I hit a point where I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I'll just have 5 drinks. Usually I'd say, okay, no more than 10. Right? Usually there's no limit. But this weekend I was like, if I say 1 or 2, I'm not going to do it. So if I say 5, I know I'll stick within that bracket. And I said to myself, like I set myself rules and I said, if you do go out and drink, you need to be up by 7 a.m. You need to clean the house. You need to do, you know, like all these little Sunday tasks because I'm not laying in bed hungover.
Yeah.
And then when I did go out, I ended up going out when I was ready to go out. So it was about 7 o'clock. I was home by about 11 o'clock. And instantly when I walked into the environment, I was like, I just got the most ickiest feeling. And I was like, yuck, this energy, like gross. Anyway, I knew why I was there and I continued to, you know, like celebrate my girlfriend's birthday with them all. And I think just watching all the people that I've built such a beautiful connection with over the last 5 years to then me going in there sober and realizing it's all just based off alcohol and drugs. And then I thought to myself, have I hung out with these people sober before?
Mm.
And I thought, no. But I class these people as my closest, like, family.
Yeah.
Right? And so many things happened throughout that night that was just drama between everybody. And as soon as you wake up, everything's fine again.
Yeah.
And I it took me back to a place where I was like, fuck, these were my nights out. Just, mm-hmm. you know, situations that would happen. And we'd just accept it. I'd be like, oh, shut up. Like, stop being, you know, abusive or whatever.
Mm.
So that was a huge turning point. And I was like, I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We got in a cab and we were with somebody. Someone I didn't know. It was my friend's friend. And he started, I paid for the cab. We got in. And he started just, like, being so rude and abusive to this cab driver for no reason at all. And usually I'm the type of person to speak up and be like, oh, shut up, blah, blah, you know. But this time I said to him, like, you're being very disrespectful. You need to stop or you need to get out. And he didn't like that, so he carried on and I just sat there. And for the first time I just went silent because I'm like, you know what, there's no point fighting or trying to, like, find peace in a situation that there is no peace at all when you're intoxicated. There's no peace, there's no security, there's no nothing that I ever thought there was when you're in drugs and alcohol, you know, in that environment. Anyway, fast forward, we get to the location, we get out, we're all in the lift, and out of nowhere, this guy, he was standing behind me and just, like, whacked me across the back of the head. And I turned around to him and I was like, oh my God, if I was drunk, if I was intoxicated, I would have turned around and beat the shit out of him, to be honest. Like, and that's just your first, it's aggression. It's like, it's all your deep shit that just purges out when you're on drugs and alcohol. And that night I turned around and I looked at him and I said, that was really disrespectful and I don't appreciate that. Don't fucking do it again. And then he obviously, you know, started laughing, carrying on. They all walked out the lift and I literally turned around and went home because I was like, fuck this. Like, so much level of disrespect. And I look at my past and the things I used to do. I would never obviously be abusive or violent, nothing that. But the amount of confidence I had on a night out, the amount of the way I would dance, the people I was around, it was all just this huge head fuck, you know? As soon as I started to realize, I was just like, holy shit, it's the same people, the same places, the same things, the same amount of guilt, anxiety, you name it. It's just crazy because I've had so many realizations. Never spoken about it. And I also, I mean, the people in my life all know my journey and they're so supportive of it. But I guess you just won't understand until you actually go through it yourself and actually, like, find that security and confidence within yourself rather than a glass of wine or a line of cocaine.
It's all, it's a lot of realizations. And, because especially because you've had a period where you've gone without it and you've been, had clarity and noticed things. And then, you step back into it and then you realize, oh, this is what I was missing out on and this is what I didn't want. And then that's when, you can, like, you've stepped back into it and then you can feel guilt and shame. Well, why did I fucking go back out here? I know this was bad for me, but then, your mind can trick yourself, you know. So it happens,
I think the other thing is too, and I know so many people would feel like this. Before you go out on a night out and you're getting ready, you've got so much anxiety inside of you. And there's not one person I know that doesn't feel this type of way because when we're driving there, we're all like, oh, we're nervous, let's get smashed. So the goal is to get smashed, suppress those feelings and emotions, but that's actually your body reacting, going like, fuck, you're not meant to be in this place. You're not meant to feel this type of way. And that was my biggest thing. All those years, I would always have so much anxiety before, you know, my heart would be racing. I'd always be like, oh, my God, what am I going to wear? Like, I'd stress. Whereas on the weekend, I was like, you know what, fuck this. And I went, and instantly that feeling that I used to get came back as soon as I entered that building. And I was just like, get me out of here. But again, I was like, it's okay. You're here for her birthday. Just stay. You know, it's okay. And, you know, even that situation in the lift, me 6 months ago, I would have been like, you know, gone off at him or whatever. And then in the morning, forgotten about it. But this time around, I'm like, I'm not going to stand for the level of abuse and, like, disrespect that it may not seem like anything, but it's just, it's the shittest environment to be around, to be honest.
Well, it is, like, disrespect, and it's, I mean, I guess with a lot of people, especially if they get to a point of, like, drinking or taking drugs where they're blacking out and they're not remembering things the next day. It's just like, oh, we just sweep it under the rug and then that rug just gets bigger and bigger of shit that we do. you know, before that, obviously, mm-hmm. the realization from that, you know, the 1st of January commencing, all right, well, I'm going to start going sober for 2023. Did you face many challenges and adversity doing that?
I did. Not so much in, like, you know, wanting to drink or like, oh, I feel like a glass of wine when I was stressed. That wasn't even a thought in my head, to be honest. And I, even now, I feel so deeply about how I personally feel with the substance, you know.
Yeah.
So I never struggled with stopping to drink. Previously, I was always like, oh, I'm craving an espresso martini or like, you know, I'd tell myself, oh, I can't wait to have a wine in 3 months' time when my sober, you know, ends or whatever. Whereas this time round, yeah, I felt no type of way about giving up drugs or alcohol or the party scene. What I really struggled with was the lack of, what's the word? Like...
connection.
Loneliness. Like I felt so lonely. I don't feel lonely within myself. I feel like I've built a lot of security within myself and my home environment. And but those, like I was saying before, those close people that I thought were just like my everything, I didn't hear from them.
Yeah,
I was never invited anywhere. I was spending every weekend alone. I was like, you know, and the weekends for me was my release from my business. So I was like, now what do I do with my time? And I, yeah, for the last 4 months, I've had a lot of realizations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like when I went to Bali in March, and that was a solo trip, and I went there to just basically like, you know, be alone and just experience life, lessons, opportunities. And I was going to the gym and I met heaps of people at the gym and we'd go to like parties and stuff like that, but none of them drank. You know, we'd go to not parties, like not like the parties on the Gold Coast, but it was more like, you know, like restaurants that would turn into bars and clubs and whatnot. And we would all have so much fun. We'd all be home by 12 o'clock. We'd all go meet at the gym the next morning. And yeah, I think that is when I really realized that first Bali trip I did solo was when I realized, and I looked at everyone in my life and I was like, fuck, I've outgrown this. Like it's time to now, like, you know, close those sort of chapters and friendships that are only built around drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like these group of people that you met in the gym were more aligned with the direction that you wanted to head. And so, yeah, you're more drawn to those people because I've had similar things in some of the gym, I guess, groups that I've wound up in. Well, it's not necessarily that everyone's sober, but like alcohol really isn't like it's not
it's nothing.
You, I mean, if they're drinking, you don't notice it, and because they're able to, they have like a couple, and that's about it. Maybe they get a bit tipsy and a bit goofy, but for the most part, yeah, we're meeting for coffee and having going. I mean, on the weekend we went and did barefoot bowls at Burley, and then had, you know, picnic on the fucking Burley Hill. Like it's stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's all stuff that we all like dream of, isn't it? Like it's all stuff, especially, you know, around my age group too. Being in our like early to mid 20s, it's stuff that we all want to do. But as soon as it comes around to it, we're like, oh, let's just go to a club instead. Like, let's just go to a bar instead of going for a picnic.
Yeah.
Because it feels a lot more comfortable for us to like, you know, build a connection with drugs and alcohol and rather than having to sit there, be sober and actually have a normal conversation.
Because all those feelings come like, oh, I'm being vulnerable to you, you know, oh, it's scary. But then when you drugs and alcohol numb it out, then you just blurt out how much you love each other and just like...
Literally, And then you're in the toilet for 2 hours telling each other how much you love each other, but then you never see them again.
Yeah.
So it's like, what am I doing with my time and energy? Yeah.
And you mentioned you experienced anxiety. So how have you managed your anxiety now, I guess, during that sober period if you were still going out, and especially even with regards to traveling sober and solo to another country, which I can imagine for a lot of people doing that would be quite a challenging thing because it's like, oh, I don't know anybody. Well, I'm staying in a hostel. You meet in a hostel. Oh, what's everyone doing? Everyone's drinking. Like, So how'd you go about that?
I think I've always created quite a healthy routine in my weekday life, which I've now continued into my weekend. So, you know, my early morning wake ups, my morning walks, gratitude, breathwork, meditation, all of those little like tools and techniques that have really helped me release my stress and anxieties. But traveling, the first trip I did alone, I got off the plane, I had the biggest outburst of tears, mm-hmm. and I sat like by this lake just bawling my eyes out, and I'm like, oh my God, that was when I realized all you have in this lifetime is yourself. And if you can't find security and safety within yourself, then you'll never experience it. So I think for me, what was your question?
Well, it's just handling
like your question. Oh, handling my anxiety.
Anxiety, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like, you know, I felt so anxious, and then out of nowhere, yeah, just it all just like purged out at once. And I think from then I was like, you know what? Yeah, all you've got in this lifetime is yourself. Build your own safety, security within who you are, and have a purpose for everything you do, whether it's good or bad. What's your purpose and intention behind it? And does it align with who you are and where you're wanting to go? And I think, yeah, that's really how I have managed my anxiety. So traveling solo, you know, young, going to a third world country, right? So I was so anxious because everybody's like, why would you do that? That's so crazy. Like, you're going to a third world country, you're blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, what's my purpose for going? It's to, like, you know, reground myself, have time away from this day-to-day, like, craziness. And it was really just to be. It was just to be within myself and realign my life. And when I did, not my life, realign myself. And when I realigned myself, everything else around it kind of just fell off. And I had so many realizations, if that makes sense. Because I'm like, yeah, I'm realigning who I am and where I'm wanting to go. But these people in my life are so stuck in my past life, if that makes sense, and the person I used to be. And it's got nothing to do with them at all. It's me. It's got, you can continue to party and drink and do whatever you want in this lifetime, but you'll hit a point where you're like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time, energy?
And sometimes you just outgrow people.
You do.
Like, if, I mean, we've talked to people who've talked about, like pursuing like a path that you're on, that I'm on, where we want something more, we want something different, and then there's, you know, there's conflict of interest, there's pushback, there's like, why are you doing that, are you too cool, you know, like like making us feel shame for the fact that we've recognized that, well, it's a problem for us, and we want to do better and make a change. And I think for some people, even like in like going sober, a lot of people, they just think that, oh, the only thing that's going to change is you quit drinking or you quit drugs. And it's just like, no, it kind of spirals out into other areas, because then once you start dealing with what's underneath it, you're burying and covering up on top with all the any substance you can get, then you start doing, I guess, what you've just described, is then it's going within and finding, I guess, like your purpose in life and what we're doing here and what can we do to pursue a more fulfilling life. Because you know, as much as going down the hedonistic route can be fun in the moment, eventually it just becomes
piles up
and pointless at some point.
That was another thing I experienced too in the last 4 months, was the amount of doubt from the people that I loved so dearly, because they've heard me say I'm going sober a million times in my life. They all doubted me, and they're like, no way is she going to Bali and partying and not drinking. You know, I always had the closest people to me doubt me, except my, you know, my few who were, or who are, everything to me. And they're the people that I've also just realized, they allowed me to be and do whatever I wanted to do, but they've never been involved in the shit I used to get involved. They've never been involved with drugs, alcohol, partying. It's never spiked their interest. And I think that was a huge realization too, is the amount of doubt that comes externally towards you, because they're all in that position still. So they, how can they believe in you when they could never possibly even imagine themselves doing that, you know, going sober and just out of nowhere, touching alcohol again, or, you know, changing their life for the better. So that was another thing that I experienced. Not only was it like very lonely to begin with, it was also the amount of doubt. And then I would start to doubt myself and be like, can I do this? Like, you know, and the moment that I hit a point with everything going on, I was like, oh, fuck. No one believes in me. But then I had a realization after that night, and I was like, no one's going to believe in you. You've only, you've only got yourself to believe in. And that's something that I always remind myself.
Yeah. And talking about, I guess, you know, the way you frame things, like, you can think of this slip up that you had, and focus on that, or you can focus on the amount, the over 100 days you had before mm-hmm. that, where you had all these realizations, and then the realization you had by having that little mishap to then progress forward and go like, okay, this is why, no, this is what I want now, and then move forward that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess even like, you know, in regards to being in business and having your own business, did you notice a difference? Because you started your mm-hmm. business after COVID, so mm-hmm. you were still drinking and drugging. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that went into the work budget, but, you know, then when you stopped, did you notice, I guess, a mm-hmm. difference in business progression from going sober?
Mm-hmm. I was so stressed all the time with work, and I just could not wait to finish. I couldn't wait to get home and have a wine. And yeah, I started my business just before COVID, so then COVID hit, and that's where I really found a love for red wine and my release with work. And so basically I'd done a lot of research into like the effects alcohol can have and you know, all of those sorts of things. And it's crazy because it's like a 30-day, I mean, I'm no expert, you're probably more of an expert than I am, but it's like a 30-day cycle just to get your body levels back to normality. So as soon as you're drinking, your levels are all over the place. So something I had realized, it made so much sense to me when I researched it, was I would drink, you know, Friday to Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm hungover. I'm like, I feel like shit. I'm so stressed with work. I'm crying. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm angry, frustrated, all these crazy emotions. And then Thursday would hit and I'm like, fuck yeah, I can't wait for the weekend. Like, I'm feeling good again. Like, yes. And then I'd smash out work on a Thursday. Friday was a write-off because I'd be like, let's work in the morning and then afternoon, go get ready and go out and have fun. So that was like when I had seen that graph that, on alcohol, like the effects of alcohol and stuff, I'd realize, fuck, that is literally, I'm not even making, like getting my body levels to normality. It takes a whole 30 days. So I'm only getting through phase one, not even. And then, you know, phase two is even more like crazier. And then phase three and phase four. But yeah, with work over the last 4 months of not drinking and not being around that sort of energy, my work life has just been, I've been able to remember things. I had no memory before. And it sounds wild. But my staff had to remember everything for me because I had no memory. I've never really had a memory as much as like I remember the partying nights. That's it. I don't remember any like detrimental things in my life or I don't remember anything. Whereas now I have such an amazing memory. I have such great focus. I'm so like any negative situation, it's so positive and everything in it is so positive and learning lessons and opportunities and growth. Whereas beforehand I'd be like, oh, just get me a bottle of wine. So my work has improved massively, but not only my work, it's myself. So, you know, if I'm improving, everything around me is flourishing.
Absolutely.
So yeah, my work's amazing, which is why I've attracted Europe
and
an incredible opportunity and incredible humans that I've met on these like solo trips that are all on the same page as me and inspire me. And yeah, I've never really had that in my life where I look up to someone and go, oh yeah, like you know, they inspire me because I've always been around partying.
And I guess what I would ask is, you know, how do you manage, are you better at handling stress now without it?
100%. Yeah. Because I'm so, I know how to break it down because I'm so emotionally stable. I can understand. I still feel things, of course, but I'm so emotionally leveled headed. Whereas before, like I said, I'd go through waves. One minute I'd be really happy, the next minute I'd be so frustrated and angry. And yeah, it was just everything purging from the weekend.
Do you think that come from the morning routine that you do with, like, I guess, with, you know, with breath work and meditation and gratitude and...
I've always done that. So I've done it for the last, since I was 20. I knew that I had to implement things in my life to really help me go through, well, you know, release what I was going through deep down that I always suppressed and hid from everybody else in my life. So I've always implemented that. But yeah, it helps massively, of course. And I think that was my other thing too. Previously, when I was drinking and stuff, I'd go, okay, stick to your morning routine, and then at the night time it's good. You can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah, well, you make it easy. Like, well, I'm still doing this, yeah, so I'm get to...
I'm still grateful for life. I can have 10 bottles of wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what the fuck? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, that's always the thing, like, if you can be, like, high functioning. Mm. So, yeah, it's just like, well, my job... I still got my job. Well, my relationships are supposedly good, and then, you know, I can... And then it's like kind of like a reward system. Just like, well, I've earned this, and... I guess the question is like, well, is it really a good reward?
Mm-hmm.
Could you reward yourself in other ways?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's just what people have to be open to exploring. And, you know, it sounds like that you know, that's what you've done, and you've clearly reaped the benefits from it, it sounds like.
Yeah. Mm. I had celebrated my birthday recently back in Feb. It was the first birthday I can remember that I've celebrated sober.
Mm-hmm.
I had a day thing. And all my girlfriends that came, they don't party or drink, except like, you know, one or two of them. But, yeah, it was just the most like beautiful day. And I was like, this is what real connection and like real celebration should be like,
yeah.
You know, all chilling by the pool, eating yummy food and having nice conversations, not getting plastered and like making a fool of yourself.
Mm.
So embarrassing.
Yeah.
If I think back to my nights, I'm surprised I'm not dead.
Mm.
Like, honestly, the shit I have done and gone through, all of the bad shit in my life has all been from drugs and alcohol, from other people towards me and for me putting myself in those situations.
Mm. So, are you able to, because I mean, like for me, like there's was asked recently, do I miss the good times when I was drinking?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the good times, I don't remember them anymore.
Mm.
Like the ones that I guess stick out are the bad ones. Mm. So that's...
I was just talking to my girlfriend before I came here. I was like, well, you know, it's quite scary because it's the first time I'm expressing and like telling, you know, this dark side of life because it's so dark and people don't understand. Well, people do understand it. They just don't want to come to terms with it.
Mm.
But I was literally just saying... Even though we think we're having so much fun and it's so fun to dance and blah, 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 we don't remember that.
Mm.
We remember the times where we've embarrassed ourselves or when we've said something we shouldn't have. Or, you know, when I was 19, I got so wasted. This was the really bad stage of my life from like 18 to 20. And I was wasted, lost all my friends, and this guy was looking after me. I had no idea who he was.
Mm.
I ended up like in the ocean, like... by the shore, could have drowned, could have died, had no recollection of anything, how I got into this, like in the ocean, nothing. And I thought to myself, oh my God, like what am I doing? And then the next weekend I'd end up in a bush or the ambulance would take me home.
Yeah.
And it was so bad. Mm. And I look at it and I'm just like, the people you attract, it's alcohol and drugs. It's not, you know, who they really are, I guess,
absolutely,
deep down inside. So the bad things that they do, or, you know, like my past relationship, when things went bad, it was only when we would drink.
Mm.
Well, yeah, it was only when we would drink, when we'd be around drugs and alcohol. And it'd be at the end of the night where we're so intoxicated that it's okay to physically hurt somebody, or it's okay to, you know, that guy on the weekend hit me across the head. The next day he wouldn't have thought anything of it.
Mm.
I can guarantee it because he's so stuck in it all.
Mm. And you might have said, sorry, I was drunk.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Yeah, and even the people I was with who I thought were my everything, they all kind of laughed it off, and I just thought that it's just so sad.
Yeah, especially if you feel a certain way about it and they just said, oh, just don't worry about it, and you're kind of like, well, I feel this certain way and you're not acknowledging it. So
but I was drunk and I don't remember anything, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, just blame it on the alcohol.
But we do, that's the same as me. I would blame it on the alcohol too, you know, and I have for years, so I get it and I understand. But I think, the positions I've put myself in my past, I never want to experience anything like that again. Like it's been crazy. And like I say, when I, it's wild. But you don't remember any of the good times, right? It's always the really traumatic things that happen and they stick with you. And now I'm working through it all. Because I didn't think that when I was 18, 19, being washed up in the ocean was a problem, right?
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, that to me, like it hurts my younger self. And I look at myself and I'm like, what a broken human. Like I just want to, you know, heal that part of me. So I'm working on it.
So you're looking at it as to move forward and heal through it and then work towards being about moving forward. A lot of people can, sit in that low vibration of shame and guilt about a lot of the shit they've done, and there can be I guess, I mean, for me, like, part of it was reaching out to people I wronged and apologising, and mm-hmm. there was quite growth and, I guess, mm-hmm. release for me from that. I mean, you fuck up so much and you have to carry this thing around with you. Can be a really heavy thing. And I guess, like, moving forward with all of, you know, sober, slip up, now mm-hmm. moving forward, do you think the reason, I guess, is because you talk about being purpose-driven mm-hmm. and having your own business,
mm-hmm.
do you think that, and then now you've got this academy that we're now teaching other people, do you think that because you hold that, like, high priority, that's what, you know, it's just like, well, if you were thinking about drinking and doing drugs again, it's just like, well, will this affect this? Mm-hmm. And it will, so it's like, all right, well, get rid of that and then stick with that. Like, being purpose-driven seems to be a good thing for people to implement if they want to leave the drugs and alcohol behind.
Yeah, it definitely helps, yeah, having a purpose. But a lot of people go, I don't know what my purpose is. And that's totally okay, because we're so stuck up in this whole – sorry, caught up, not stuck up. We're so caught up in this whole, you know, 9-to-5 work, live for the weekend sort of way of living.
Yeah.
So, you know, even just like holding value to your health, like having respect for your health and your mind and your emotions and my business, yes, it's flourished and I've worked so hard on it. But that's like here now. I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, this is my priority, me, you know? Yeah. And, like, as much as I love it, and it's crazy because even this opportunity in Europe, I'm so excited for it. I can't fucking wait to move there and, you know, all the rest of it. But I had this realization the other day. I've dreamt of going to Europe, and I've dreamt of going there for 2-3 months getting sloshed every day. And that was my idea of seeing Europe and fun. Whereas now I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to remember everything. I can't wait to actually be present and feel everything you're supposed to feel, rather than, you know, having your feelings suppressed by still, I don't know, getting over your hangover or coming off a come down or whatever it may be.
You're just numbing out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, because, yeah, you did just say that before, because you said, like, if I'm good, then everything else.
Everything else is amazing.
Yeah, everything else is amazing. Do you have any tips for people who are looking at Bree? They're like, Bree's smashing it. I want to be like Bree. How do you start?
First of all, realizing where you're at and accepting where you're at was a huge, it took me years to just actually realize this isn't what you want. You dream to be a beautiful wife and be a beautiful mother to children. And if you continue with these weekend practices, or you continue to look at your life as normality or a coping mechanism, what the fuck is your life going to be like when you have a family, or when you're with a man that actually values you and loves you without drugs and alcohol? So I think that's number one, is just looking at your life and accepting where you are, where you want to be, and then obviously set little goals to get there. Another thing is, like, I don't know how to say it, but, like, releasing all of your guilt and shame, because I know that's why people continue to drink, because I had so much guilt and shame built up, embarrassment built up over the last X amount of years, that I thought I could never undo it. So I just kept going and going and going. Like you said, you know, just building upon it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like finding a way to really accept where you are and just work on releasing those things. And for me, that's, you know, talking to my therapist. I have a beautiful holistic therapist that helps me just, like, express things freely, you know. And yeah, daily practices, actually, like, surrounding yourself with people that you look up to, that inspire you, that don't prioritize drugs and alcohol, is first and foremost, because like I said, everybody is so caught up in this normal way of living in this generation, and that is working and partying.
Yeah.
You know, and then once you actually realize those things and realize where you're at and where you want to be, you find your purpose, because your purpose lies with where you want to be, right? And then, yeah, just, I guess, working towards it every single day, always becoming 1% better. And even if you do find yourself going back out in that party scene, set boundaries, like I did, you know, the other weekend when I did. I was home by a certain time. I was not drunk. I was so aware. And I always said to myself, build a healthy relationship with alcohol. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that weekend, I was like, there's no fucking healthy about alcohol or drugs or this environmental feeling.
Yeah.
There's nothing healthy about it.
Mm.
So I guess, yeah, it just comes down to realizing where you're at and where you want to be.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all, lots of little nibbles there for people to nibble on to. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, big takeaway, I guess, for you was, yeah, just finding the right people that you wanted to be around was certainly a big thing. And that's come up time and time again in these conversations is who you surround yourself with. And, yeah, like, I don't have my purpose and everyone I'm around drinks and does drugs. It's just like, well, you remove yourself from those people for a while, stop drinking, stop taking drugs, let the, you know, and it might be a while because you might, I mean, I try to recommend at least 90 days to really get, I guess, really hone in on everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
finding, security within yourself because it can be so lonely.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess social media is another huge thing these days is when you see all your friends or everybody that you're following on social media, they're out partying on the weekends. Mm. That's also hard too because you're like, well, I'm sat on the lounge.
Mm.
What am I doing?
Mm.
You know, what can I do that's fun?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, you just like redefine your way of having fun.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what happens is you stop doing that and then you start looking at your life. And it's like, well, what do I actually enjoy doing? Mm. It's just like you'll find things that you enjoy doing. It's just like, well, just do that.
Mm.
Like, because a lot of stuff, you know, especially when you hear people, I mean, time and time again, you're out and people like, oh, you're not drinking. Is this fun for you? It's just like, well, so you're only here to have, you know, the only way for you to have fun here is if you're drinking or taking drugs. I mean, then why are you here? Like, why are you wasting your time here?
Yeah.
And even like, because, you were talking about seeing posts on social media. Mm-hmm. That was a thing that I used to, like, I'd have envy sometimes just sitting people around a table drinking and think, like, I'd like that. Like, and I couldn't have that anymore and I missed it. But really that was my mind just like, you know, like the, yeah, like the snapshot of everyone with the, you know, having a drink, looking smiling and everything. Oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
But that's just one image. You don't see what's going on in each of these people's lives.
Yeah, and well, I can guarantee no one would have known anything that I've struggled with. They all would just think I'm this crazy, you know, like out there party girl that loves to have fun and lift people up on a night out because that was another thing I loved was as soon as I would enter, everyone would feel so comfortable just to be crazy and do whatever they wanted because I would, you know, I had those people around me that wouldn't judge that they were all just as crazy. Like no one can be crazier than me, you know, so I just don't judge.
Yeah.
And I think that was another thing is, really like self-validating myself through making other people do whatever the fuck they wanted to do on the night out. But in reality, it's, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors or your reasoning to actually drinking alcohol and drugs because my reasoning was not to have fun.
Mm.
It was never to have fun or be crazy. I did crazy things because it made me focus on the crazy things rather than all my other shit, you know? And then, moving into my week instead of like focusing on my stress, I'd be like, oh my God, the weekend, like I did the craziest thing and that would be my topic of conversation, not actually. Okay, cool. I went out and got sloshed on the weekend because I'm so stressed and I'm suppressing so much shit.
Mm.
That was my outlet.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Well, thank you for coming on today, Bree. Yeah, that was a lot of
fun.
Yeah. How'd you think you went?
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of nice, to be honest, to be able to like, I was very nervous to express my truth and the deep shit.
Yeah.
But I feel like so many people struggle with it.
Mm.
And yeah, like I said, just look at your purpose as to why you're actually drinking.
Mm.
What is your reasoning?
Yeah.
It'd be so cool if we could all go out and no one drank.
Mm.
And I say this about makeup too. Like it'd be so cool if we could all just go out and just wear whatever we wanted and just like be who we actually are rather than like, you know, having to look good for other people's validation.
Mm. Yeah, it's so, just like take off face mask.
Take off the alcohol.
Everything and just be you.
Yeah.
Could be a business venture. Who knows?
Open up a sober bar.
Sober bar. You know,
well, literally.
They're coming out, I guess. Oh, I think there's one in Melbourne, I think, at the moment.
So cool.
You know, the times are changing.
Mm.
Well, I'll leave you with one last question. What's the best piece of advice you've received?
That was very broad.
Very broad. Well,
what's the best piece of advice I've ever received? What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? Give me a little.
Like growth comes from being uncomfortable.
Yes, actually, love that. Mine, I guess mine was, like I've said this whole podcast, is finding security within yourself, because no one's here to change you, no one's here to save you, no one's here to make you feel safe or secure. It's only you. And everything else falls into place once you find out, you know, who you really are and where you really want to be. So, yeah, that's actually my screensaver, what you just said.
Oh, is it?
Oh, new beginnings. Oh, time new beginnings? Time for uncomfortable growth.
Yeah.
And then everything just fell into place. So, yeah. A reminder. But, yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you, Brie. Yeah, thank you for coming on and being so open. Yeah. And especially doing these chats, like, it's very, you know, people do get nervous and, that, you know, expressing some things that might be, you know, close to home for them. Like, oh, God, you know. But every single time that someone's done this, you know, they always just message me and they're just like, oh, the amount of messages I get from people and just the reach out of support and feedback, like it really makes a difference. So I appreciate you coming on here and sharing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was cool. Yeah. And I really hope people listen to this and, can take something from it, because it's been a huge life-changing point.
And it's only just getting
started. It's only getting started, literally. And it's crazy, because I think about the next 6 months, the next 12 months, you know, the next 10 years, and I'm just like, my life looks so amazing moving forward, because I know that I don't need drugs and alcohol to deal with my shit. Like, I can do it alone. Yeah. I can figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Awesome.
Woo!
Woo! This has been the Last Drinks Podcast. I'm Will Hitchens. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.